This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The Michigan shutdown related to COVID-19 has already idled thousands of businesses, everything from food carts to huge auto plants. Claims to the state's Office of Unemployment Insurance rose. And yes, this number I'm about to say is real, more than 2,000% from weeks prior. The social safety net may never have been under more pressure in living memory. With us to talk about what's happening is Luke Schaefer, professor of social work and public policy. He's also director of poverty solutions at the University of Michigan. Luke Schaefer, nice to have you back on Stateside.
Thank you.
We know that more than 100,000 people in Michigan filed for unemployment last week. Do we know anything about who's filing?
Well, let me just start by saying that these are unprecedented numbers in terms of a shock to the system. We've never seen it ramp up quite this fast, and these are some of the biggest numbers we've ever seen, maybe the biggest numbers we've ever seen. So this is quite a shock to the system, and they vary, right? So you've got lots of small businesses. You can imagine a lot of the ones that listeners frequent, whether it be bookshops or coffee shops or toy stores or restaurants that are closing down under the current circumstances.
Or auto plants.
Or auto plants, right, exactly. And some of these places have strong connections to the unemployment insurance system. For some of the groups of workers, that program's going to be a little less known. And then there are whole sets of workers, whole groups of workers who are going to have difficulty getting any help at all from unemployment insurance.
Why is that?
Well, our system isn't really set up to support self-employed workers, so there may be some avenues to get through, but generally, if somebody works on a 1099, somebody works off the books, they're not going to be able to get help. So imagine housekeepers who are coming in to clean homes or being called off by families. Maybe they work with a 1099, maybe they work off the books. They're not going to be able to access any help. If you think of your handyman, if you think of folks who make a living doing ride sharing, all of these groups aren't really set up well to access unemployment insurance benefits. Even workers who are able to access unemployment insurance are going to get a relatively small amount. Michigan has the lowest maximum benefit compared to Midwestern states, set at $362 per week. That's about 35% of the average weekly wage. That's well short of the federal standard of 66%. So somebody who's making $40,000 and gets laid off, it's going to be tough to survive on unemployment insurance, even as it provides a really important benefit.
Luke, what kind of options do people have if they're in that situation?
So you might imagine some of our public assistance programs, like food assistance. So one of the good things in the first piece of federal legislation that came through was some increased and flexibility around access to food assistance. But a lot of the provisions actually target families with kids. But we had a suspension of work requirements for that kind of aid as well. One of the great things in that package also was suspending all redeterminations for Medicaid. Make sure people don't lose their health insurance during this time, either because of some sort of administrative mistake or otherwise. So those are good things, but there's a lot of gaps here, and especially as our economy has changed, they've only grown. And so I think that's why you see so many folks across the aisle really looking to a income for every American type program to fill in the gap around that, both from the right and the left. But even those can get really tricky. So some of the provisions that were under consideration in the Senate by the Senate would actually have fewer benefits, half the benefit going to families without income tax liability. And, of course, one of the ways that we distribute aid to low-income working poor families, sometimes called the ALICE population, is through refundable tax credits. So, you know, under some of the provisions as they've been constructed, childless couple making $150,000 is going to get much more in aid than a single mom making $15,000 working in a minimum wage job with one kid.
What traditionally happens during times of recession to the safety net? I mean, I know that that word unprecedented is getting such a tough workout these days, but what do we know about what happens?
In this case, unprecedented is true. And what's really different is both the scale of the challenge and how quickly it came on. So in other times, you can sort of see things building, getting worse month over month, and bureaucracies are able to make adjustments. When you go basically from 0 to 60 in a time like we're experiencing right now for, say, the unemployment insurance system, it's very hard for bureaucracies to adapt like that. One thing we know is that programs that are entitlement programs, these are programs that are often more administered from the federal government. They respond to the need, and these tend to grow faster. So a program like Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, formerly called food stamps, that's a program that's really responsive to the economy. And you can see the rolls increase, and that's where a lot of the provisions were in the last package. But that's also only a program that you can use for food. And so it doesn't help you pay your rent. It doesn't help you pay your energy bills and buy toilet paper. And so there's a limit there. Unemployment insurance is a program that can, it's a social insurance program. It's meant to catch us all when we fall. But the financing is a little bit complicated, and states may run out. So there's going to have to be, if this continues for, you know, some considerable length of time, there's going to have to be help from the federal government. And that's what we saw during the Great Recession, where the federal government, some things kicked in, and so more federal funds became available. The federal government also had to extend benefits. And that's stuff that, you know, we're going to have to see how that plays as time goes on.
I wanted to ask about that specifically. I mean, the thought of states running out of unemployment benefits or food stamp benefits sounds pretty frightening. I mean, is it possibility? Do you think it's more likely that we'll see a freeze of benefits, or that states or the federal government are just going to have to borrow to get people through this?
Yeah, I think with those programs in particular, action is going to be taken. So with food stamps, it is totally responsive to the needs. And so that's a program, you know, that we're going to see continue and that people will be able to access. As many people are deemed eligible are going to get access to food assistance. With unemployment insurance, that's a bit more of an open question. And a lot of states were in a bad position with their trust funds in terms of the amount of money that was stashed away ready for when the economy went sour. And so it's likely that in a lot of places, federal action is going to have to be taken in order to extend those benefits. And I expect we'll see some of that in, you know, we saw a little bit of added funds for unemployment insurance in this first bill that went through Congress this week. I expect that we'll see more. And I think that's a smart move. That's something we absolutely have to do and should do fast to 100% avoid the type of situation that you just described.
Luke Schaefer is Director of Poverty Solutions at the University of Michigan, where he's also a professor of social work and public policy. Luke, thank you very much for your time today.